Turn your Bible to chapter 4 of the book of Genesis. This morning's title is The Dawn of the Sinful World. Many people who are into humanism believe that mankind is basically good. And few rotten people are the ones who cause a problem in mankind. If they believe that, they have more faith than I do regarding humankind. Because I have only one kind of faith for mankind. Without Jesus, every single one of us, every single person are capable of murdering each other. Have you ever thought about killing somebody? Don't look at me like you have never thought about it. You're in the church. You're lying through your teeth if you do. You thought about it. According to Jesus, it's the same thing as murdering someone. We are capable, not only capable of murdering each other, and all of us will end up in hell without Jesus Christ. Throughout the history of humanity in general, we don't see anything but hostility to one another, and ultimately against God. From the dawn of this sinful world, we find an incident of murder, and not taking responsibility of one's action, and spiritual pride, and rejecting creator, and just like the current, is just like the current time in 21st century, isn't it? In Genesis 3, we saw the root of humanity of sin, when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord. In Genesis chapter 4, we find the fruit of our sin. What that Adam and Eve's sin caused for us to do. As I said many times, don't ever think that you would be any different if you were in the Garden of Eden instead of Adam or Eve. You would do exact same thing. Let's stop and pray. Father, we are thankful that you allowed us come into your house, and we are thankful that you allowed us speak to us through your word, your anointed word, living word. Let our hearts opened to hear your voice through your word, not man's opinion. Father, we pray that your word ringing in our heart, never to depart from you, never to delight in our sin, but always delight in you, in your word. Father, we are asking you to anoint our hearts that we may understand your principle and precepts from each verse, and pray that we are asking you to anoint the one who speak and forgive his sins. Father, as we receive your word, let us not only be a hearer, but let us be a doer. Father, we now pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in this country. As your word told us to do, we pray for them. And pray for their salvation. And pray for your will be done in their lives. They may turn to you and seek your help. We pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Father, we pray that those who protect us, they may be protected by you and keep them safe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, President Trump visited one church in Virginia. You may heard about the news, and the pastor asked him to come up to the stage, and he prayed for the president. Now, what's wrong with that, right? But some of the congregation did not like it. So, when was the last time you read the Bible? According to the Bible, we are to pray for our leaders. It's a mandate, folks. It's not a suggestion. This book, The God's Voice, is a mandate. You ignore, you go against the word of God. You hear me? So what I'm about to say, if you don't like it, guess what? Talk to God, not me. Verse 1. Now the Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit, of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Stop there for me, please. Can you hear me in the back? Okay. I don't know. It sounds like I'm not on. I'm sure that Eve remember what the Lord told them. Go to verse 15 of chapter 3, please. Chapter 3, verse 15. I will put the enmity between you and woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Stop there, please. When she had a child, the first child, she was hoping that the Cain would be that rescuer, would bruise the Satan's head, revenge what the deception he pulled on her. Little she knew that he would become the first murderer of mankind. Let's not think that God didn't care to have a fruit from the ground. It's not that he is not a vegetarian. I mean, he liked everything he created, didn't he? Right? Nothing wrong with the fruit. It was not the choice of fruit or animal in this case, but it was a matter of obedience to the God's instruction. Keep your finger in chapter 4. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Way in the back. Right before the book of James in the New Testament. Chapter 11, verse 4. You all there? By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it, he being dead still speaks. Stop there, please. You will remember what the Lord did after Adam and Eve sinned against him. In chapter 3, he killed an animal and covered their nakedness with its skin. It was the first sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice was the remembrance of what the Lord Jesus did for them. We were not born as children of God. And we have to be born again to be children of God. Man is separate from God from our physical birth. Cain refused to recognize death, so do the multitude today. You may say, well, many people say that we are the children of God. No, we are not. Only the born-again Christian. We, without Christ, we are the creatures of God's creation. Do you understand? We get adopted into the family of God. We become His children by receiving Jesus Christ into our heart. If you never receive Jesus Christ into your heart, it doesn't matter how many times you've been coming to the church, you are not a child of God. That means you are not going to heaven. It's not my opinion, it's the Word of God says. I say that with the authority of the Word of God. You may say, maybe Cain did not know what to bring. I don't think so. I'm sure that his mom and dad told him what happened in the Garden of Eden. And I'm also sure that God gave them instruction for the sacrifice. Cain simply ignored what God told him to do with a disobedience in his heart. Sacrifice requires life to cover the sins of a person. Cain ignored it just like many people today, including some Christians who think lightly of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. You will receive the newsletter from the church in July edition. It says Progressive Christianity. Nowadays, there's a lot of pastors who's departing from the Word, trying to water down the Word of God. It sounds easy for the people's ear to hear. They don't talk about sins. They don't talk about unrighteousness of mankind. And they don't talk about holiness of God. They talk about only the love of God. Guess what, Bakuru? This Word of God does not talk about not only for the love of God, he also talk about the holiness and righteousness of God. You may not like it. Too bad. That's what the Word of God says. If you take the Word of God, He is a God of love, you have to also take that He is a God of holiness and righteousness. You cannot pick and choose. In other words, that progressive Christianity is another gospel that Apostle Paul says, not gospel at all. And according to Galatians chapter 1. Cain's lack of faith showed up in his response to God's rejection of his offering of fruit. Rather than repenting from his wrongdoing, he was very angry. Cain's anger was undoubtedly rooted in spiritual pride and jealousy. He could not bear that his brother was accepted before God and he was not. I said this to somebody not very long ago. During my prison ministry, I learned one thing. Majority of prison inmates would not accept their fault, their own sin. So they always say, well, I was a victim of this circumstance, that circumstance. I was falsely accused. And then I met one prison inmate who murdered a person. And he said, I deserve to be here. It was a refreshing. Folks, you cannot say you repented if you're continuously going and if you're continuously blaming somebody else. The first way the repentance is saying, I did it wrong. It's my fault, nobody else's fault. That's where the repentance starts. And that's where the healing starts. That's why it is important for us to, when we pray, don't say their sin, say our sin. Go to verse 6, please. For the Lord said to the Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fell? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, I want you to underline the 5 words there. Sin lies at the door. Sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. And for you should rule over it. In his grace and love, God reached out to Cain to teach to be godly instead of being sinful. He made it clear that he would be accepted if Cain did well. Of course, God knew the outcome of these questions that he asked. But he wanted Cain to know, stop what he was doing inside himself. God warned Cain about the destructive power of sin. Cain can resist the sin and find blessing, or he can give in to sin and be devoured. Listen, we can prevent sin from ruling over us by allowing God to master us first. Without God as our master, we will be slave to our sin without an exception. You with me? How do we overcome the sin? According to the Word of God, take a captive of your every thought. Make it obedience to Christ Jesus. When the thought comes to you, you captivate that thought. If the dirty thought, if the bad thought, if prideful thought comes to you, you stop right there and ask God to help you. Guess what? That thought will leave you. And all of a sudden, now, you're going into the right track with the Lord. If you don't, let me put it this way. Start from the action. Let's say you did something wrong. Pull back in time machine. Rewind it, okay? You push the rewind button. And before you cause that action, you're thinking about it. Am I correct? If you don't think about it, you wouldn't do the action. So why not take a captive of your thought, any bad thought, eliminate those bad thoughts, then you would not have that kind of action, would you? Am I correct or wrong? Take a captive of your thought. Make them obedience to Christ Jesus. Listen, we can prevent the sin from ruling over us by allowing the God to master us first. I asked you to note the 5 words. Sin lies at the door. It's such a great description of our spiritual dilemma. We all are born with a sinful nature. If that is not bad enough, the enemy of God, Satan, entices our sinful nature day and night to ignore the Holy Spirit's warnings and convictions. The devil also encourages us to conveniently forget about any possibilities of consequences of our sins. Indeed, sin lies at the door to pounce on us at any given opportunity. More often than not, we walk right into his trap knowingly and unknowingly. How stupid can we get? When God warns us, we must heed his voice. Go, keep your finger there and go to Proverbs chapter 7, please. Right after Book of Psalms. Chapter 7, verse 21. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to what? Slaughter. Isn't that a good description? Or as a fool to the correction of the stock. Let me say it again. Sin is at our doors too. The evil is looking for the vulnerability in our lives. He is looking for weaknesses. He is looking for a way to take us down. That is why the Bible warns us not to give a devil any room. There's a saying, if you give an inch to the devil, he will be the ruler. Get that? That's a good one, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, our memory verse. Come on, turn your Bible. Don't sit there without turning your Bible. Unless you memorize the whole thing. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give a place to the devil. You don't make a deal with the devil. You don't negotiate. You keep your distance from him. Don't underestimate the devil. Don't leave a foothold for sin in your life. Amen? Go down to verse 8 of chapter 4 in Genesis, please. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? This showed that Cain committed a premeditated murder. Therefore, then, clearly ignored God's way of escape. God knew Cain's answer of his question. He asked Cain because he wanted to give him an opportunity to confess his sin and start to do right after doing wrong things, like he did with Cain's parent, Adam and Eve. Remember the situation, beginning of the chapter 3? In the cool of the day, Adam and Eve walked with God, right? And one particular day, they were hiding in the bush. God came, and where are you, Adam? Is it because all-knowing God did not know where Adam was hiding? No, he knew. He was giving them an opportunity to come out and be right with God. Instead of that, what did they do? They stayed behind, and finally they came out. Same thing here, Cain. Where's your brother? He could have said, oh, I killed, I'm sorry. If he did that, it would have been much better. But he asked that question, am I my brother's keeper? You know, that is a well-known phrase. The fact of the matter is that he's supposed to be his brother's keeper. We are supposed to be keeper of brothers and sisters for one another. He became a murderer of his brother. He murdered him for the lowest reasons. Cain's murderous rage was inspired purely by the fear of spiritual jealousy. Again, keep your finger in chapter 4. Go to Jude, verse 11. Right before Book of Revelation. Jude 11. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah. See, the verse 11 warns us of the way of Cain, which is unbelief, empty religion, leading to the jealousy and persecution of those truly godly and murderous anger. You may say, what are you talking about, empty religion? What's that got to do with Cain's murder? Remember what he brought. Remember what he brought. He brought the fruit of the ground, right? Instead of what he's supposed to bring, the right sacrifice, he brought the wrong kind of sacrifice. In other words, he wanted to approach God in his own terms. Isn't that what the religion is? Catholicism, Buddhism, any of those things. And you may say, well, why are you picking on Catholicism? I'm an equal opportunity offender, so I will do it anyway. Listen, why do you pray to God through a saint? Do you find anywhere in the Bible you pray to through the saint or angel? Anywhere in the Bible? You don't. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Period. Why do they do that kind of thing? By the way, who appoint the saint in the Catholicism? Pope. So who has more authority, saint or pope? You answer me. They practically worship a mere fallible man. Besides, they said, well, to be a saint, you have to do two miracles. A person do a miracle? Really? They're a miracle, if person can do. Only God can do miracles. Don't be fooled by that kind of thing. So what the king did was an empty religion leading to jealousy and persecution of those to the godly. There is no greater curse on earth than the empty and vain religion, those who have a form of godliness but deny the power of God. Many believers are concerned about secular humanism or atheism, but the dead religion sends more people to hell than anything else. And you may say, well, you only pick on the Catholicism because you're a Protestant. No. Like Joel Osteen's church, he's teaching, you're okay because you came to our church. No. We are not okay. We are halfway okay because of God's grace. Without him, we are nothing. Away from him, we are nothing. Cain had a chance to turn from his sins of anger, jealousy, and pride to God. He would come clean by being obedient to him. But Cain would rather kill his own brother. This sin would continue to haunt him for the rest of his life. Illustrating the truth of the old proverb, if you seek revenge, dig two graves. While all anger is not wrong, uncontrolled anger, lingering anger, and temper tantrum do not result in anything good. You must master it. Otherwise, dangerous toxin will spread within our system and leaving us with the serious consequences we will have to deal with later. The lesson, as needed and as wonderful as our emotions are, we must never be allowed to take charge of our lives. They need steady and stable hands of reason to guide them and to control them. When we give a free rein to our emotion, we yield to the things that are harmful and even dangerous. Ask the Lord to help you to overcome it. By keeping them within the proper boundaries, you and I will live the healthier and perhaps longer life. Besides, if you're a born-again Christian, that kind of anger does not belong to you, regardless of your physical heritage. If your excuse is, I get angry quickly because I'm Irish or Italian or Mexican. I don't care if you're all together. Mutt. Irish, Italian, and Mexican mutt. You have no excuse if you're born again, you're a new creation in Christ. Am I right? Yeah. Then you need to control your anger. You have a temper tantrum? You need to control your temper tantrum. If you throw things around, okay, you just broke the thing. Wow. Now you have to go buy another one. As a matter of fact, self-control is a part of the fruit of the Spirit that mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20-23. You might be in that situation. You might be in the brink of the decision that commit the sin against God. I plead with you today. Please turn away from your sin. your heart might justify whatever you are planning to do with some lame excuse. But God is not going to let you get by. Don't ignore the God's warning to you. The consequences of your action will not ignore you for sure. Let me ask you this question. Think carefully. When you are about to do the wrong thing, right before you are about to do you ever feel that little tap on your heart like that? And it's uncomfortable, but you have a choice now all of a sudden. You can push and do it, or you can back away from what you're about to do wrong. Have you ever felt that? Don't look at me like you've never done it. I've done it. And only I regret it if I push it. That's the Holy Spirit living in you. Tapping your breastbone. Trying to talk to you. Next time, when you face that situation, listen to him. Be obedient to him. Verse 10. And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and vagabond, you shall be on the earth." Verse 13. And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Wait, right? "Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set the mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Cain did not want his punishment. This is so typical. Cain did not feel bad about his sin, but only about his punishment. What about you? What about me? If we don't mind committing sin against God, we shouldn't mind about getting consequences either. Because sin and its consequences always go together. One of the side effects of the sin is that it makes the sinner pity himself instead of causing him to turn to God. One of the first signs of a new life is that the individual aligns oneself with God with a true repentance against his or her own will. I said to this friend of mine, if the person is truly repentant, that person will start to take a claim for his own wrongdoing. Whenever that person starts to put the blame on somebody else for his sin, that person never repented. Same goes for you and me. If we start to make an excuse for our own sin, we haven't repented. Ladies, gentlemen, man up and lady up. I don't know if there's such a phrase like that. Take your own sin to God and repent. In his great mercy, God set an identifying and a protective mark on Cain. I know there's some theologians coming up with the guessing work. Remember what I taught you? When the Bible is silent, what? What do you do? Be silent. Go down to verse 16, please. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Verse 17, I want you to note this. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built the city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Ered, and Ered begat that guy. And the other guy, and the other guy, all that. Here's my Bible question for you. Where did the Cain get his wife? Yeah, you're right. Sister. We don't know where the Genesis of, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 5, verse 4. After he, that is Adam, begot Seth, and days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived in were 930 years, and he died. How many children do you think you can have when you're living 930 years? Probably you're going to need an Excel spreadsheet just to keep up with the names. And you may say, are you saying that God is okay with incest? Let me explain. Though the marrying sister is against God's law, according to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 9 and 11, and chapter 20, verse 17, and Deuteronomy 27:22, it was not prohibited before the law. Why? Let me say this. The necessity of the populating the earth demanded that Adam's son marry their sisters. At this point, the gene pool of humanity was pure enough to allow close marriage without harm of inbreeding. And as the stream gets more and more polluted, the farther it gets from the source, and there came a time when God decreed there are no longer marriage between the close relative because of the danger of inbreeding. Do you know which family still do the inbreeding? Huh? Yeah. Japanese emperor family. That's why they have a lot of problem with their children. Even the Adam married his half-sister, Sarah, in Genesis chapter 20, verse 12. God did not prohibit such marriage until the time of Moses in Leviticus chapter 18:9. Marrying a brother and sister was not forbidden until God forbade it. So God's answer for incest now is absolutely not. By the way, our wonderful media trying to make the child molesters pedophiles as they call it different name. Minor loving grown-ups. And I saw that and I wrote back and it was on the Facebook. They better not love my grandson because I might forget that I'm a Christian. We are going to skip verse 19 through 24. Okay? All those names. For your entertainment, you can read them after lunch. Verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again. She bore a son named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born and named Enosh. Then men began to call the name of the Lord. Stop there, underline, call the name of the Lord. Underline that, please. In the line of Seth, there was a faith. Seth himself was the provision from God, according to Eve's statement of faith. In the days of the Enosh, Seth's son, man, began to call the name of the Lord, Yahweh. You may see the old capital letter L-O-R-D. That's the Hebrew's word is Yahweh. I have three applications for you. Number one, we must not think that we can escape the consequences of our own sin. Remember what I taught you? Sin and the consequences always go together. Don't forget it. Don't think that you can sin and get away with it. What is done in the inner room will be shattered from the rooftop. Verse 2, second application. Just because God does not punish us the moment we sin against Him, it does not mean that He winks at our sin. He's giving us time to repent. Amen. Third application. If you're born again Christian, an ungodly and uncontrolled anger does not belong to you regardless of your physical heritage. Remember what I said? I don't care if you're Irish, Mexican, Italian, both all together. You have no excuse. You are a new creation in Christ. Act like one. Ask the Lord to help you overcome it. Amen. Let's stand up and pray.